president was able to communicate quite effectively his earlier position. So if you are looking in this speech for anything that is new with regard to exit strategy or new with regard to increase in the number of troops in Iraq, then you will not find that in this speech. But what is very clear in his speech is that he, first of all, organized it at a venue where he had the highest response to his message, because he was speaking at a military base where those who are carrying the policy and those who are likely to be affected by such a policy are in the audience. But he is addressing multiple audiences at the same time. So he has a physical audience at the base, but then he has a virtual audience which consists of millions of Americans and others around the world who were watching him as he gave his speech. Now, if you really deconstruct this speech, you will find a number of elements. One, he is making it loud and clear that the United States is in there for the long haul and that the United States is going to make it once it is able to train sufficient number of Iraqis to take over the job of fighting the insurgents and defeating them. That's why he has this optimistic note that the insurgents would be defeated by the Iraqis, not necessarily by the U.S. and the coalition. The other point that came out is the fact that he is addressing not only the Iraqi people, but also the Arabs and the Muslims. And he is trying to communicate to these three different audiences that the insurgence is being carried out by people who are beyond the pale of civilized values and civilized behavior. So for that reason, the United States has a responsibility to prosecute the war against these elements who are really outlaws.
Some critics have said that he should propose a timetable for withdrawal or send more troops, although he said he would not do either. He said sending more Americans would undermine our strategy, encouraging Iraqis to take the lead in this fight, and that sending more Americans would suggest that we intend to stay forever. Do you agree with that, that political decision? Do you believe that he's right to follow that course, especially when it does seem that state building takes a very long time, giving recent world historical examples?
Well, I think this is where you can identify a parallel with what is happening in Congo. The number of troops you have on the ground, the degree of commitment of the host country, in this case, Iraqi leadership or Congolese leadership, in the case of the UN operating out of Congo. But the fundamental difference, of course, between, say, the Congolese and the Iraqis, if you want to use the analogy to describe the two, is that in the case of Iraq, prestige and the power of a superpower is at stake. And how the United States fare in Iraq is of great interest not only to the Congress of the United States and the people of the United States, but to the whole world. The other point that needs to be underscored here really is that if U.S. policy is to be carried out successfully, the U.S. has to develop a strategy of containment in Iraq itself. That is, how to contain the insurgents. There must also be a strategy of containment with regard to neighboring countries and the manner in which they interfere or lack of interference in what is going on in Iraq. And here you find a parallel in the Congo, because the Congolese crisis has been exacerbated by the neighboring countries.
In terms of a strategy, as you've just said, for controlling the insurgents or making it clear to neighboring states around Iraq, or as you compare to Congo, that the U.S. means business or that it will be in there for the long haul, do you think he made that clear last night in his address to the nation?
I think he did. Unless you have a very firm, consistent, and effective policy of containment of insurgents or people crossing the boundaries of the neighboring countries, you are going to have a problem. And you have to be very tough with those neighboring countries. But then the smuggling of weapons, this whole underground arms trade, which is very lucrative, and of course, the international terrorist groups and groups that are insurgents around the world are beneficiaries, and they are also purveyors of violence who receive their weapons from this underground arms market. And this is something that has to be dealt with, and I don't hear anything said about this.